Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Thursday morning. Jeff Poor filling in for Jeff Poor on the Jeff Poor Show today. Still to come, about a half hour from now, we'll talk to House Majority Leader Scott Stadthagen and former Alabama quarterback and Big Oak Ranch CEO Brody Croyle. We're going to talk about their softball game coming up next week, so you want to stick around for that. Then the 11 o'clock hour, one of the two candidates in the District 2 showdown, Dick Brubaker, former state senator, will be with us, so please stay tuned for that. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. Get in touch with the show by texting me, and I will respond to whatever it is, comment, complaint, suggestion, whatever it is that is on your mind. But joining us now, you may have heard of her. I don't know. Some of you may have not. But anyway, she is your junior Alabama U.S. Senator. Katie Britt on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am doing well, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on, and just want to say congratulations to you and Caroline on your new arrival, and hope you're able to get a little bit of sleep.
It'll work itself out. It always does. You know the routine and the drill. But holy cow,
right.
Senator, you've had a heck of a week. I'm going to say this. I must have seen your stump speech probably a dozen times during that 2022 cycle, and I mean I didn't think it was any different than anything you haven't done in the past. And maybe it just, like, I was listening to you with Ted Cruz on his podcast yesterday, and maybe it just didn't translate well to the camera, but people in this state, especially those that cover this state politically, that shouldn't have been I don't think should have been a surprise at all.
You know, I have taken a look at the last couple of days, and one of the positives of this is that the Capitol Police now know who I am, Jeff. So as of last week, I was still having to show my ID in places and say, no, I actually am a member. I can go back here. And you would be shocked. Obviously, this penetrated everywhere because now they're just waving me through no matter what gate or no matter what door I am going through. But, you know, look, the American people are hurting, and they want people who understand that and are passionate about actually getting them results. And so I understand that some people didn't receive that in that vein, but certainly believe that that America is worth fighting for, and these people are worth fighting for. And Jeff, these issues are worth fighting for. And I think if we had a few more people with a little bit more passion, we may actually be able to get something done. Because you see the same old, same old. You see, you know, President Biden stand up there for an hour and 7 minutes and yell, and, you know, do things like not even call Laken Riley by her name and, you know, call her Lincoln, and then never come back and apologize for that. But yet at the same time, he comes back and apologizes for mislabeling her murderer. And it just shows you how distorted it is. That's a perfect example of why America is over this. And so I think communicating that is important, and I think we got to keep doing it. And interestingly, Jeff, I think during my remarks, you know, I encouraged everybody to get in the arena. And it is clear when you get in the arena, of which I am now, that people are going to shoot arrows at you. But, you know, if you're doing the right things, you're fighting for our values of faith, family, and freedom. You know, it's interesting that they were all so triggered that how dare I have a conversation from my kitchen table, the kitchen table that, you know, my family sits around, where we have our tough conversations, where we pray for God's guidance, where we talk about our days, where we talk about the things we're worried about. And, you know, that they're threatened by that. And I think us preserving that in this country is so critically important. And so I think we'll keep doing that. We'll keep moving forward. And we're going to keep fighting for the people, the values, and the things that make this country so great.
It sounds like you're taking all this in stride. Like none of this is really even penetrating, bothering you, that it's still full speed ahead.
Yeah, you know what? I only have one speed, and it is full steam ahead at all times. I am so honored and humbled to represent our great state, Jeff. I mean, you think about from corner to corner, side to side, there are incredible people all across Alabama who have trusted me to fight for them, to be their voice, to work diligently on their behalf. There are children, you know, that are looking for better opportunities, who need to be seen, that need to be elevated. And that's what I'm here for. And so I am not here to be the liberal media's darling. Never was. Don't plan on it. And so, you know, you just got to keep going. And I actually have had a good bit of fun with it. I mentioned this on Cruz's podcast, but Cruz came up to me at lunch and he said, "Goodness gracious, you know, you've struck a chord." He said, "You are literally over the target if they're coming at you like this. And the liberal media is losing their mind," and invited me onto his podcast. And so thought that I would, you know, do that, and really enjoyed the back and forth with him. And he was so funny to say, you know, "Look, you got to take a win if Scarlett Johansson's playing you." And we had fun with that. Obviously, I said, "Look, if the Black Widow is who they cast as me, I'm here for it." And he also referenced the different people who have played him on Saturday Night Live. So we have certainly taken it in stride and just keep moving. And hey, and as I told him, Jeff, why is Alabama Kate Middleton so mad? I said, "Can somebody print that off and put that on my desk?"
It framed, like in your office somewhere, right?
Absolutely. We should absolutely get it framed in the office. That was probably one of my favorite memes. And I do think there is an element of, you know, look, you know, when your mom is in the mode and she's going to go get something done. And I think the liberal media knows I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep moving. And truly, this is where people are. I mean, people are looking at our border, Jeff, and they know it is a complete and total disaster. They know that under Joe Biden, that human trafficking has gone from a $500 million business in 2018 under President Trump to now a $13 billion business. Joe Biden continues to say that his policies are humane. They're anything but that when you know what is happening to men, women, and children all across on their journey to our border, at our border, and all across our country. You know, when you look at things like Laken Riley and you look at her tragic death, you know, I sincerely cannot, the mom in me, my daughter runs track and she'll, you know, go take a jog in the neighborhood. And to think that something so simple as a 22-year-old nursing student at Georgia taking a jog in the morning and being brutally murdered by someone that Joe Biden chose, and I want to make sure that everyone understands that, Jeff, he chose to let that man into this country. He has a blanket parole program, and Senator Lindsey Graham has done a great job bringing attention to this. Senator Graham has said that, you know, under President Obama and President Trump, they averaged, when it comes to presidential parole authority, about 5,600 people a year. When you look at Joe Biden last year, I think he was 3,000 short of paroling 1 million people into this country. And so he has a program, the CHNV program, where he blanket paroles these individuals at our border and truly does not do the proper vetting. And that's how this gentleman got here. And so just, you know, realizing that his border policies, his failed border policies, have consequences from brutal deaths to fentanyl poisonings all across our country. That's what people are feeling. And they're also feeling an economy, Jeff, that is, they're hurting. Their dollar doesn't go as far. I mean, I drove carpool both that morning and that afternoon of the State of the Union and the State of the Union response, you know, ran to the grocery store. You know, what you see is, you know, that eggs are cost more, you know, milk cost more, you know, meat cost more, and real families are hurting and trying to kind of figure out how are we going to make this work and are uncertain about their future. And then last but not least, it's like, look abroad and look at the chaos that has ensued from his weakness. His words mean nothing. We clearly have no red lines as a country anymore because our troops have been attacked over 200 times since October. And weakness, the weakness that Joe Biden exhibits every day out of the Oval Office, invites this type of aggression from our enemies. And we've got to get back. This is why we need President Trump back in the White House. We've got to have a secure border. We have to have an economy that works for hardworking people. And then we have to make sure that our allies respect us and that our enemies fear us. And under Joe Biden, every one of those things is a disaster. And under President Trump, we're going to bring some common sense, some respect, some dignity, and a prosperous United States back for the American people.
Joined by Katie Britt, our junior U.S. senator here on the program. Senator, talk about a lot of questions here about this on the text line. Just did the SNL portrayal. You sounded pretty upbeat about that listening to you last night, but, could have been a lot worse, I suppose.
Yeah, it sure could have. I'm serious. I said, obviously this has been a challenge for our children. And I think that's one thing. You realize it's no one's taking issue with the content with regards to the things, you know, it's the issue is truly with the passion, and people have an issue with that. And you would think that, I think if I had done something actually wrong, I maybe had been getting treated better than this. But the SNL stuff, that's exactly what we told our children, was like, look, if you've got to be played by somebody, I mean, Scarlett Johansson, that is a real win. And the fact that she wasn't even scheduled to be on, she wasn't the guest host. They brought her in to do that. I have joked that I'm excited that, you know, she was an Avenger and that I get to be the Black Widow. I feel like I should kind of sort of get a patch that says that and just kind of own it moving forward. And so you're exactly right. And Ted Cruz was telling me that, you know, he was going through kind of the Hall of Fame of all of the different Republicans and, you know, that it's a conservative badge of honor for the liberal SNL to decide to put right. you front and center. And right. And
Senator. Yeah, it's true. Well, they had Senator Sessions played by Kate McKinnon. I mean, that's pretty brutal, you know, but I think you kind of win the prize on this one, Senator.
Right. Hey, and listen, being played by Scarlett Johansson on SNL was in a cold opening, was not on my bingo card for 2024. So, again, we'll take that as a win and just keep it moving.
Well, overall speaking, I mean, these are tough spots. These rebuttals are very tough. And I know over the years some of it really landed like they wanted to. I mean, obviously you would maybe tweak it a little bit, but are you pretty pleased with, you know, despite the media reaction, which you're getting a dose of liberal media bias right now? But you know, you communicated what you had to say, and if you just read the transcript, I mean, it's pretty spot on. Are you other than maybe some little tweaks, are you pleased with kind of what you were able to do with that opportunity?
Yeah, I believe I gave a voice to millions of Americans who feel like they have been left behind. Millions of Americans who are sitting at their kitchen table saying, why will someone not speak up for us? Millions of Americans who are sick of the liberal media covering for Joe Biden, and millions of Americans who want this country, who believe in this nation, but want this country to get back on the right track. And so, you know, you're not going to apologize for bringing passion into the arena. I think it's necessary. And I think we're at a critical juncture right now. And we can decide, you know, do we want to keep going in this direction? Or do we want to preserve the country we know and love, the American dream, opportunity for our children and our children's children? And, you know, we're not going to get that done by, sitting quietly and speaking softly. We're going to have to be firm. We're going to have to be direct. And I get that they don't like that. But I think it's showing you right now how spot on the remarks were, because they continue to, they're not covering the humanitarian crisis that's occurring under Joe Biden. They're not covering, you know, how families are really, what is really happening in our economy. They're not covering the fact, I mean, you look at just even like energy, for example, and Joe Biden's policies on that and how that's affected everything. And you look overseas and just look at what is happening everywhere across the globe, and they won't cover it. And I think people are sick of it. People are sick of a two-tiered system of justice in this country, and they're sick of the media being the third arm of the Democratic Party. And they want they want someone to speak directly to that. And I'll tell you, that is exactly why President Trump is going to be back in the White House. We're going to get him elected. We're going to take back the Senate, and we are going to hold the House, because at the end of the day, I think crystallizing this happened on Saturday. You look at President Biden, who is apologizing to Laken Riley's murderer for mislabeling him, not her parents, for not using her name properly. And think about this too. The liberal media didn't even press him on that. They didn't say, would you like an opportunity to correct her name? Would you like an opportunity to apologize to her family? They ask him for an apology on calling her murderer illegal, which, by the way, the statute says illegal alien. So technically, illegal alien would have been a proper term for this, but they wanted an apology on that, but not for Laken Riley's family. You have that occurring on the very same day that President Trump embraces Laken Riley's family. And so that crystallizes it for you. You have an entire party who is more worried about mislabeling a murderer and an entire media corps than they are about embracing a family who lost a child and a brutal murder that represents, unfortunately, hundreds of other families across this country that in the last few years have lost family members to fentanyl poisonings, brutal murders, and beyond. And you have President Trump embracing them. And he's saying, I see you, America. I am with you, America. We are going to get this straight. And I think that says it all. And I think that's why we're going to win in November. And then we're going to make sure that we put these policies in place that put America's first and not Americans last.
Senator, you're always very kind with your time, especially in a hectic time. I know you've been very busy, but thanks for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate you having me. And listen, I really appreciate the people of Alabama. So many of them have rallied and said, look, she spoke for me, and I'm going to keep doing it and keep fighting. And it's a real honor, and appreciate the opportunity to be on with you, Jeff.
Thank you. U.S. Senator Katie Britt there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.